Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All right, we've done local politics, we've done national politics, we've done the New York primary on August 23rd. Now let's talk about the lottery. Ah, someone in Illinois had a very good weekend. A winning ticket was sold in the Chicago area in the Mega Millions game. That ticket hit the top prize in Friday night's drawing for a bewildering $1.34 billion before taxes, $1.33 billion. The estimated cash payout is about $780 million after taxes. It's life-changing money, obviously. Absurd money. Absurd odds, too. The odds of winning the jackpot on any one ticket in the Mega Millions is 1 in 302.6 million, according to the Washington Post. The Post put out a fun quiz about the odds of winning that billion-dollar jackpot and included this bit of trivia. You're about 3,300 times more likely to be hit by space junk. I think I got that right. Friday night's jackpot is the second largest Mega Millions prize, not even biggest, and the third largest jackpot in any American lottery game. So here's our question. Did you buy a ticket? And what's your threshold for when you play the lottery? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you sometimes do and sometimes don't play the Mega Millions game or any other big money lottery, how do you decide when to buy a ticket? What's the math? 212-433-WNYC. Do you only buy when the jackpot goes over a certain amount? I heard those stories in the news leading up to Friday night's drawing. Oh, once it went over a billion, I went out and bought a ticket. Are you like that? Like, if you only won $200 million, would that transform your life any less than if you won $1.33 billion? So if you play the lottery, where's the line for you? When do you actually buy a lottery ticket? Does it have anything to do with how big the prize is if you win? 212-433-WNYC. And give us that lottery narrative for yourself. Like, since the odds of winning any lottery are so small, is it, hey, what the heck, it's just a few bucks, you got to be in it to win it, it's just, you know, yeah, it's 1 in 302.6 million chance, but doesn't cost me that much. I'll play. Maybe it'll change my life. Or do you actively fantasize what you would do with the money if you won the lottery? Call up and tell us your lottery stories, including, do you have a threshold? When it goes over X, then I play the lottery. 212-433-WNYC. And if you happen to be that person in Illinois and you happen to be a Brian Lehrer Show listener, call and tell us what you're going to do with $1.33 billion before taxes. 212-433-9692 or tweet at Brian Lehrer. We'll take your calls and tweets after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now to your calls on your relationship with the lottery, any lottery. 212-433-9692. And I'll throw in one other question in addition to those that I hit before the break. The Washington Post reports that a history of past lottery winners shows a wide range of what players do with their winnings. Many have paid off debts, bought homes, invested their money, while others have put the cash toward building a water park, gambling in Atlantic City, or starting a women's professional wrestling organization. Some adjusted to life as a multimillionaire, writes Tim Bella in the Washington Post. So I wonder if there are any lottery winners listening right now who would be willing to share your experience, even if your winnings were modest in comparison to this billion-dollar sum. How did your life change? What did you do with the money? Let's go to Chris in West Orange. Chris, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hey, Brian. I wish I was one of the latter folks who could say I was a lottery winner, but I was just calling to answer your previous questions. I don't have a monetary threshold that where it's like, oh, I'm going to buy if it's over this amount, but just kind of get caught up with all the marketing. I couldn't not see the jackpot with this last one. Whenever it gets this high, it's on your Instagram feed, it's on the news. So all that fanfare is like, why not throw in a few bucks to change your life, you know, even though it's very unlikely to happen. But my father-in-law is a regular lotto player, plays every week and hoping to win, but hasn't hit the jackpot yet.
Has he ever won one of those little I know people have won like $50, you know, in the New York State Lottery, and basically they use it to fund their lottery habit.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he'll win every other month or so, but pretty much goes back into buying the lotto tickets for months, or every once in a while he'll treat us out to lunch or dinner.
Thank you very much, Chris. Bill in Port Washington, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Brian. I won the first time $25. So, you know, that sort of said, well, you can win, because I haven't won since, except maybe $2 or $4 here. But what I do, I automatically, when it turns to $250 million, I buy.
Why $250 million? If you won $10 million, if you won 10, of course, I don't know your finances, but if you won $10 million, it would probably completely transform your life. So why do you wait until it's $250 million?
I want it to be big enough that I can do not only good things for my family, but, you know, endow something or, you know, just it's got to be big. And actually, the smaller numbers happen all the time. So this preserves my money till there's a huge payoff.
Bill, thank you very much. Lon in Bayside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lon.
Hey, Brian. Thank you for taking the call. My wife and I have been doing this since my wife was very ill, and she was bedridden for quite a while, a number of years. And the one thing that we didn't skimp on was two lottery tickets a week. And we would calculate out what we would refer to as the suitcase amount of money, the money that we would walk away with after taxes. And we would just start a plan. We would take vacations in our mind because we couldn't. And we now have done that for 30 some odd years. To the point that we now have an exact written down on paper plan about the things we'll do in order in amounts. We have, you know, a $1 million plan, a $10 million plan, a $25 million plan, and just what we refer to as just plain stupid money.
Ha. Do you want to give us a little bit of a sampling? Like what's on the $1 million plan list?
Or what's always
on the $10 million that isn't on the $1 million, you know?
Well, the $10 million plan, I have my wife's permission to walk to a house in Douglaston, knock on the door and say, what'll it take to get you out of here? It's a house that I've always dreamed of owning.
Good one. And what's the first thing on the $1 million plan, like the minimum thing on all your plans?
The $1 million plan, the first thing we always said was, you know, how do we get show thanks for doing this? We said any number after the first comma would go directly to charity before anything else.
Nice. Lon, thank you very much. We'll go from Lon in Bayside to Edward in Bayshore. Edward, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hey, Brian. Thanks to talk to you. I've been listening for a while. So I was just saying to the person on the phone earlier that I usually never play the lotto. I feel like it's a little silly sometimes when the prices are low. But once it hits the threshold of like over $100 million, I start to think not just of myself, but of like all the people in my life, friends, family, and like what that money can do for everybody. And then that's when I start to be like, all right, let me buy a couple tickets a week or something, just in case.
Gotcha, Edward. We have terrible line, but I think I got the gist. When it gets beyond that certain point, you'll play just in case. Brenda in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brenda.
Good morning. I don't think I've ever had an expectation of actually winning, but I do enjoy when it gets to an obscene amount of money, I enjoy buying a ticket to check in with myself as far as hopes, dreams, wild imagination, and just see if I'm on the right track to do it on whatever it is on a micro version, or if in fact I'm doing already everything that it is I hope to dream of, but in a just very smaller way. And it has to do mostly with philanthropy, but also lifestyle. And it's just very handy. It's kind of like a New Year's resolution, but for $2.
Yeah, as long as you don't get hooked. And I know, of course, when we talk about the lottery, we have to talk about it being in a certain sense a tax on people who sometimes, if they get too hooked on it, can't afford it. And I wonder if playing the government lotteries is leading people to any bigger gambling problems. That's always an issue when we talk about the government sponsoring of all things games of chance and the proliferation of the games of chance. There are so many different government sponsored lotteries now, but people have their ways of managing it, hopefully, and some of them probably don't, and that's a problem. And it's a problem for public policy. Why do we do this in the first place? But there are all these fantasy relationships that people have with it, right, that we're hearing about, including some of the personal, I'd buy this house that I always dreamed of owning, and a couple of callers so far talking about the philanthropies that they might start. Stefan and Lyndon, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stefan.
Oh, hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay. What's your lottery story?
It's not a lottery. I have a question to you, because in the beginning of the segment, you mentioned that, you know, the chance of being hit by a space junk is like 300 times bigger than chance of winning jackpot. That's what did you say?
Something like
because
that.
Because I hear about people winning a jackpot pretty much all the time. I never heard about anyone in this country being
yes.
hit by a space junk.
That's a great point. And I think I got that wrong. I was unsure of it when I said it, and now I'm looking back at that quote. And
you know, I think you had on your mind the lightning. I mean, the thunder, but not the space
junk.
I cannot believe
yes,
that.
Actually, the exact quote, the way I have it here, is you are about 3,300 times less likely to be hit by space junk. So, Stefan, good catch. Louise in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, I don't even know how to buy a lottery ticket, but my dear friend Boris, the computer programmer, buys a $2 ticket every day because he says it's cheaper than a shrink. It keeps him optimistic.
Yeah, all right. So he's spending close to $800 a year on lottery tickets.
Right.
And
yeah,
cheaper than a shrink. I wonder how many times he has to lose before it changes from optimism to fatalism. But I guess
he's never fatalistic. He's always glass half full. So maybe that's just his nature.
Who's going to get the last word? How about Peter in Florida? Peter, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Hi. I give a lot of my money away to charities that I believe in. And I know the ones who have treated me well, and I will give them lots of money if I win the lottery. And so that's the idea. If I win a lot of money, I know which charities returned my calls, for instance. You know, I mean, personal relationships. I call them up and they say, hi, Peter. Others, well, they're a little cold. I would reward the ones that were nice to me.
Peter, thank you very much. And changing his relationships with philanthropies that he donates to. The last word in this call-in about your relationship with the latter. And that's the Brian Lehrer Show for today, produced by Mary Croak, Lisa Allison, Amina Cerna, Carl Boisron, and Zach Goddard-Cohen. Our interns this summer are Emily Lowinger, Anna Navarchik, and Amanda Rozon. And we had Juliana Fonda, as usual, at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.